Welcome to Walnut Grovecast. I am on with the king of the show, Christopher Cooley. How are you, Chris?
Hello, I'm doing fine.
Excellent. My name is Mark, and we are on the award-winning Walnut Grovecast. We're bringing you yet another amazing episode. We've gotten some nice emails saying, more. So here you go. You asked, and here you go.
Well, it's good to be back.
Yeah, it's awesome to be back. We actually have a bunch of episodes in the can right now. So there's going to be a bunch of new episodes kind of being thrown out there for the people who listen. And we do appreciate all the people that listen to this podcast. Chris, what did you think of this particular episode, by the way? You said it was a little thin. So
yeah, it's entertaining. It is one of those sort of like the kids. What are the kids up to? The hijinks.
It's a goofy episode.
Yeah, it's lighthearted. I think we are running out of the. We're running through the last of the. How do I say the little adventures of the kids
before we get to more serious material? Yeah.
I mean, so here we have Laura is based on the air date, which this was February 1979. So by the timeline of the show, she's about to turn 15 years old. And so we get kind of the final year before she starts really getting more of the grown up type storylines with the love and. Falling in love and getting a job and things like that. So
you know what's kind of funny about this? By the way, the name of the episode is
Lake
Kezia Monster. And it's funny when you say it was lighthearted because essentially Kezia is like this eccentric woman who owns a house by the lake, which she named after herself.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that out because that's kind of a head scratcher to me because this is the third time we've seen Kezia in the show.
Yeah, I remember the fire episode. I don't know about the third time. I don't recall her.
Well, this is the third and final time she'll appear on Little House. The first one was first episode of the prior season 4. Episode 1. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head now, where they introduced Jack the dog. Mm-hmm. And it's called Outcasts, I think. And she is introduced as an eccentric, sort of nutty British woman. Well, I don't know if she's British. I mean, she's clearly got the accent going.
Yeah, it's really, really a messy accent, too. It's very difficult to understand what she's saying half the time.
Right. And well, this was sort of her bit. I mean, she was a character actress, and that she had this affectation pretty much in almost every role, you know, whatever you saw her in. But she was living in the outline of the burned out house in the middle of town, and she would pretend to open the door and close the door and pretend that the house existed around her.
Yeah,
and everyone was like, "Who is this woman?" You know,
so that was our bizarre.
And that episode kind of left Kezia as, well, the town's going to tolerate her, and we should all be happy and Christian and
and hope it doesn't rain.
Exactly.
Or winter's not coming, you know.
and so we sort of, you know, accepted, well, we have an eccentric living in Walnut Grove. And she was seen briefly in another episode, the one where Gil Gerard appears as the traveling carpenter in The Temptation.
Oh, I remember that. That's a great episode. We have to cover that one.
But she was just like a supporting role in that one. And then all of a sudden we come into this episode and she owns property by the lake. I mean, she seemed to be like a completely broke, itinerant person,
right?
You know, and now she's the property owner that's not paying her taxes.
Right, she doesn't pay her taxes, and basically, Mrs. Olson forecloses on the property by purchasing it for $50.
Right. Yeah,
which is about $1,200 in today's money.
Oh, inflation calculation.
Yeah.
The state auctions off the property, And Mrs. Olsen takes advantage of it and says that they've always wanted a summer place.
As, I mean, this is only 2 miles standing. Away.
Yeah, evidently. It can't be that far because the kids are walking home from school and stopping by and everything. So
yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's kind of strange. I was going to play our first clip. I was going to play the kids coming out of school. this begins on the last day of school.
Yes, with summer begins.
And Jack is sitting outside the door of the school. And he doesn't move. The kids all come, and I'm thinking, where's that poor dog? Did they trample that dog to death? I don't know if you noticed that.
I missed that.
Yeah, like, it's strange. Like, he's just sitting there, and what I'm guessing is I missed it. He got up, and he got out of the way, or he ran ahead of them. But it's very strange. But here are the kids basically celebrating.
Oh, he got up and ran off with the kids.
Oh, he did run off?
Yeah, okay. There you go. Yeah. It was very...
I was like, run, yeah, boy, vamos, go!
Kind of obscured, yeah.
All right, here we go. And it's already getting warm, so I'm guessing this is June, just like nowadays. And the town is getting ready for a hot summer, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but basically school's out, and they're all of a sudden they're best friends with Kezia, which I think is one of those things that they do. It's kind of cute, where they'll just out of nowhere have this relationship that you had no idea existed. So I'm going to actually play them talking to Kezia so you get an idea of what kind of woman Kezia is. Now, I also am under the assumption that Kezia works for the post office in the way that Alice does.
Yes. Yes, we kind of...
But she's broke.
Didn't get to that yet.
She has no money. I mean, we actually meet... We actually not meet, but we see Kezia steaming open.
She's committing federal offenses.
Oh, yeah, completely. And reading other people's mail. But this is when the kids kind of run in.
Oh, Kezia. Oh, we have your place most every day now. After we do our chores, of course, if you'd like.
Like? Oh, I love it. You know the welcome mat's always out for you darlings at Lake Kezia. Oh, we'll have a marvelous summer.
What are you going to do this summer, children?
I'm just going to rest up.
Thought you were doing that during the school year. What about you, Nellie?
I have no plans, Father.
I do.
Yeah, and that's one thing that we get to learn is that, even though I kind of gave a spoiler earlier, that Harriet has a really interesting idea for their summer. And that's they're going to buy a new house that's 2 miles away. Kezia's shack of a house. Actually, it's not a shack of a house.
It's kind of run down.
But she straightens it up really nicely. I mean, you know, with the new furniture and stuff.
From the outside, it doesn't look like all that much.
No, it really doesn't.
I mean, that door doesn't even look like it closes right later on in the show. There's cracks in between the boards. It looks like you can see in. I mean, it's clearly something they built for just to film.
In 15 minutes, sure.
Yeah.
Essentially, Kezia, and like you said, we're not really 100% sure where she comes from. She's kind of Scottish-English accent. I'm not really sure what it is. But she talks about the Loch Ness Monster. And she's always telling them stories. I would play this clip, but it's over 2 minutes long. I should play it just to give you an example of how difficult it is to understand her sometimes in this. So I'm going to play a little bit of this.
Yeah, yeah, tell us.
All right, my pretties. Now, did I ever tell you about our Harpoon Harry Walsh? He was my third husband, you know. How he rose on the back of the Loch Ness Monster.
The what?
Exactly. I was like, what? But, you know, I think that her, you know, she's an old lady. She's pushing up the vocal fry up a little bit. And I just find her difficult to listen to as well and to understand. But she tells the story of the Loch Ness Monster, which I think you know about the Loch Ness Monster, I hope.
Yes.
And
yes, it was quite a thing in the 70s.
It still is. Nessie's out there, buddy. I hope. Recently, you know, I uncovered, I think it was probably my 7th grade ceramics class project, and I made Nessie. And I put it on my little sill over there. I found it in a box. I made a pretty awesome little depiction of the Loch Ness Monster. For whatever reason, I had an interest of making Nessie. So we're going to learn that, well, a man pulls up, a man that we've never seen before. At first, I thought it was the banker, which would make some sense. But a man comes up and says, "You didn't pay your taxes. We have to take away your property. I'm sorry, it's been sold." And here's a bit of that.
"I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. The new owner is going to take possession of the property tomorrow.
Who would be mean enough to go and buy your own property right up from underneath you like this?"
That's a great question, Albert. And even though most people probably understand who is whose fault it is, this will clear it up even more.
"It is over. I've done it, and that's enough.
But to evict an old woman, I shall be homeless."
"Oh, Nell, what I did was perfectly legal."
"I am not talking about the law. I am talking about a human being."
"Well, I'm a human being, too, and I wanted that lake."
"I wanted that lake." That's very much, I see a lot of stuff going on here. Nels is continuing his frustration with this woman. It's building up and building up. For whatever reason, the kids, Nellie and Willie, for the most part, they're well behaved in this particular episode. Again, you know, we've seen in the past few episodes that we've reviewed, they don't act so horrible, which is why I've put together a certain amount of episodes for the near future, which shows how terrible they can be. Because, you know, Annabelle, for instance, you know, they were almost sweet about it, although they were singing songs about their fat aunt.
The Nellie being nasty is kind of settling down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
As we get into the next season, we see that she actually tried to pursue Almanzo. So she's actually starting to look at dating,
which is such a good episode.
So.
Oh my God, that's such a funny episode. We really have to revisit that. Where do we go? We go to the cabin where I'm always forgetting Jonathan. Jonathan is hanging a moose head above his fireplace. And this thing is tremendous, right? Their place is too small for maybe a deer head or something like that. But this is massive. And so I'm going to play a little bit of the dialogue here. And, you know, Alice is being a little, opinionated. He just hung it up above his fireplace.
"What do you think of it, Alice?"
"You know what I think."
"Come on, I'm really proud of that moose head."
"I'm sure the moose was, too."
"I didn't hear no complaints when we had the meat."
"The animal wasn't staring at me while we ate."
"Come on, those eyes are made out of glass. You like it, don't you, Sam?"
"I suppose."
"Thought I'd get some support out of you anyway."
"Well, I'm sorry. I just can't stop worrying about Kezia. How can they make old people pay taxes anyway?"
I don't know, son. It ain't right. Maybe they'll change it sometime."
Why should they change it? Like, I'm just kind of curious. Why isn't it right that old people don't pay taxes? Sorry.
I don't know. It is one of those kind of odd comments. You do get there's a couple of times where that's mentioned, that type of thing is mentioned on this show. Like maybe one day people will pay taxes based on the money they actually make.
Right.
And instead of the property taxes, of course, you know, we actually have both now. So,
and then some.
One didn't offset the other. It's sort of like, you know, the endless parade of things that can be taxed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was an interesting comment. So I guess it's something to create sympathy, obviously, for the character.
Now, what we find is that Reverend Alden is grabbing a free meal at the Ingalls house, and he talks about how he's a little bit nervous. He doesn't want to have to get involved, but him being the, I guess, moral compass of the town, he's going to be the person who helps kind of come up with some level of a solution so that not everyone is being a bad Christian. So he goes with Mrs. Olson to speak to Kezia, and here's what happens.
Now, Kezia, I've come to take possession of my property.
Possession is 9 points of the law, they say. And I am the one possessing this property and this harpoon.
You keep that old crow away from me.
Who are you calling an old crow? You beached whale, you.
Oh, you little silly toad. Get off my property.
A toad? Yes, this is my property.
This is my property. I paid.
You get off my property.
Ladies, there's no way to be acting, either one of you. This is not Christian.
I'll tell you what's Christian.
We've got everything.
And they're just going nuts at each other, trying to kill each other, which is just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And Reverend Alden gets right in the middle. It's interesting what she said. They say that possession is 9 points of the law. And I never heard of that. I always thought of it as 9/10 of the law. But 9 points, I looked it up, and that is a phrase.
Really?
Yeah, it actually is a phrase.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never heard that version of it.
Yeah, and I was watching with my wife, and my wife said, doesn't she mean 9/10? And I'm like, no, dummy. So yeah, they're fighting. Reverend Alden's getting in the middle. And this is one of the few times we get to hear Reverend Alden yell a little bit, which is just... not characteristic of the way he normally is.
Stop it! Now stop it! Before I forget, I'm a minister and lose my temper. Now that's better. Now we are talking about Kezia's home. Surely we can work out some kind of reasonable and charitable compromise.
What? Like what?
Like some way that Kezia could stay on here.
Well,
I don't know. It was the Christian thing to do, Mrs. Olson.
Mother, someone's got to do the cooking and cleaning. And all the chores, too.
Thanks, kids.
That's very true, children. And as the Reverend says, it is the Christian thing to do. Very well. She can stay. But I'm afraid there's nowhere for her to sleep except in the shed.
Now, when she said that, what was your response? Like, were you cringing? Like, this poor woman is going to now be essentially an indentured servant
right.
to the worst person ever.
I wondered what... Mrs. Olson hasn't even been in that house yet. How does she know how it's laid out or how much room there is?
She just knows.
She's making a statement.
She probably spoke to Charles, who built the house or something like that. Charles, who's not in this too much. He's only in, I'd say, a full minute of screen time.
He's busy directing.
Yeah, he does. I'm surprised nobody died in this episode. and it is kind of a goofier episode, but it's a very serious topic. It's very, I mean, it's very cringeworthy. So, I want to play the music of when Kezia essentially just agrees to be the slave.
Roof over me head.
Some roof. A tool shed.
Well, beggars can't be choosers.
You will come and see me sometime, won't you?
We will.
You think Mrs. Olsen would hit her with a stick to make her work harder? So the kids are clearly upset over this. This is just, you know, really, really getting worse and worse for this poor woman. Let's see, what do we got here? Oh, this is so immediately Mrs. Olsen decides to have a party for high society of Walnut Grove.
Yeah, where do these people come from?
No idea. Mankato? I mean, she doesn't seem to really know them, and I'm just not really sure what the deal is here.
They don't seem to be townspeople.
No, not at all.
There's nobody that we've seen.
They're all dressed like Nels, who refuses to go to the property.
Yeah.
You know, good for him. So this is basically a day in the life of Kezia.
Kezia, bring refreshments for my guests.
Kezia? Kezia! Yeah,
Kezia. Kezia comes out of her beautiful shed and is a horse. She's living with a horse. And,
yeah.
It's just so sad. It's terrible.
Sick of learning me own name.
What has been keeping you? You are as slow as molasses. Oh, for heaven's sakes, will you please serve the guests and make some more lemonade and start supper right away, because we're going to have 12 guests.
Yes, Mum.
And hurry up, I
sick. She's terrible. Just terrible. The woman was living here 3 days ago, and now she has to work there. It's just the worst. So we're going to talk about
what Meanwhile, back at the house. back at the little house where Ma is reading bedtime story of Br'er Rabbit, and that kind of instigates an idea in Albert's mind.
Yes, and here it is.
It was a good story.
Yeah. Br'er Rabbit scared them out of their own house.
Yeah.
First he shot off his gun. Bang!
Then he shot off his cannon. Boom!
Albert, I already heard the story. Now could you please be quiet so I can get some sleep?
Maybe there is a way we can help Kezia get her house back.
How? By scaring Miss Olsen off the property.
Yeah. But how?
I don't know yet. Maybe Kezia can help us figure something out.
Yeah, she knows lots of scary stories.
Yeah. See if we can talk to her tomorrow. Night.
Night.
So, that was a very sweet thing. I mean, you know, this is a really good group of kids, you know. They're going to scare somebody off of property. This is the kind of stuff kids go to jail for now.
Yeah.
It's really, really derelict behavior. So they come up with the idea to what? I'm sorry, I'm looking. You have a clip here, and I'm just kind of queuing it up if you want to.
Yeah, they go to visit Kezia. which is not very popular with Mrs. Olson, that they just start popping by because she's busy with all of her tasks and everything. And we get the scene set here where Albert starts to actually have an idea of what exactly they can do.
All right, here's the clip.
Get him off the property.
But we don't know how.
Yeah, we were figuring maybe you'd have an idea.
Yeah, you've been everywhere, seen everything there is. Could you think of something that would scare the pants off of him?
Oh, I wish I knew.
Hey, wait a minute. Remember what you told us about the monster? What was his name?
Loch Ness.
Yeah, the Loch Ness. What if there was a monster in this lake?
Oh! What if there was?
So I just read that Nellie, Alison Argram, this is her favorite episode of all of the Little House on the Prairie episodes.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. She's barely in it.
Yeah, she said it was one of the crazier episodes they recorded, and that it was, she had memories of it being enjoyable.
That's pretty cool. So they're sitting, I mean, they're staying over, the Olsons. They've now decided that they're there for the whole summer, 2 miles away from their normal house. So there's the sound from the outside, which I don't really know what this sounds like, right? I mean,
it does sort of sound like a sick moose or a sick cow to me. Yeah,
that's what it sounded like, yeah. But here it is.
Mother, what is that horrible noise?
Oh, I don't know. But I'm gonna find out. Don't just stand there. Come on.
Oh, him. I call him the Lake Keezia Monster.
Lake Harriet, what monster?
Oh, something like them monsters they have in the Scottish lakes. They call them lochs.
So basically she tells this whole very long story, and it really does go on for a little too long, in my opinion. For not too much of a payoff. Although she's planting the idea that there is a monster in that lake, she isn't able to really sell it.
Yeah, this is their first attempt, and it kind of gets shot down by Mrs. Olson.
So this is going to find out that it's actually a horn that's being blown, and this is what happens. By the way, the background noises are so loud in this scene, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Listen to this.
You can stop now, Lance. Her ladyship wouldn't buy it.
Darn.
But thanks for trying all the same. Well,
they're not going to give up. Let's just say that. So they get this idea that if they can't convince them to leave by just coming up with the story that there's a monster, then what they're going to do is actually create a monster. And what is this, the first week of summer? This is going to be a great summer. Getting into this much trouble. So here we have Laura visiting the mercantile.
Morning, Mr. Olson.
Good morning, Laura. What can I do for you?
How much glue and tacks could I buy for 15 cents?
Glue and tacks? What are you working on?
Well, it's a special project. Sort of an invention.
Well, I'll tell you what. I like to encourage children's educational projects. I'll just donate whatever you need.
Thanks, Mr. Olson. I'll need about a gallon of glue and about a couple pounds of tacks.
Must be quite a big project.
Oh, the bigger the better, I always say.
Well, anything else?
Well, could you spare about 10 yards of burlap sacking?
10 yards of burlap? Well, let's see here. We got, why don't you just take what's left here? It's at least 10 yards. Is that all?
Let me think. I know it's an awful lot,
but a couple of Roman candles.
Roman candles? Well, that sounds very interesting. How about three of them? Never know when you might need a spare.
Gee, I don't know how to thank you, Mr. Olson.
Oh, think nothing of it. Glad to help. I just hope the project works.
So, let's just pump the brakes here for 5 seconds and go, Roman candles at the Mercantile? Like, what is that all about?
He had them lying around.
But it makes no sense. It's one of those things, all right, granted, you have the 4th of July approaching, but, like, where do you get Roman candles? You know, it's like a Chinese type of thing, right? I wouldn't.
I think fireworks were.
I know they existed.
For...
But is it really something that the Mercantile would just normally carry? I don't know.
In February. Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, but remember, this is supposed to take place in late June or early.
Oh, that's right.
What I'm saying.
That's right. I'm confusing the air dates to the time it's actually supposed to be. That's what. That's the only thing I can think of is he would have had some fireworks, and if school just got out, he would probably want to be hanging on to those to sell and not just give away. It would have made more sense if it was after the 4th of July or something like that.
I gotta say, Nels is – I mean, he's the happiest you've ever seen him. He doesn't have his kids there. He doesn't have – he has the whole house to himself now.
He's getting along fine.
Sure, take what you want. I don't care. You know, it's awesome.
You don't even have to pay.
So the kids are getting together. They're like, oh, you know what we need? We have to create a head. You know, we have to have a scary head. So I forgot his name. What is that kid's name?
Jonathan's,
Andy? Yeah, Andy. Jonathan's son comes up with a really excellent idea, which is what we learn about right here.
Hi, Mom.
You're home early today.
Is Pa home?
No, he's making a delivery to Sleepy Eye.
That old moose head sure looks ugly up there.
Sure does.
Pa shouldn't have put it in the house.
I told him that.
Why don't we take it down? He probably won't even miss it.
I'd love to.
Well, why don't we? We can always put it back up later. After all, Ma, it's your house too.
You're absolutely right. Andrew, take it down.
She's really she's a tough one.
And next week, you know what's going to happen? We're going to have the Garveys are going to be on the rocks again and splitting up and throwing pushing over telephone poles. And
I got to say, you know, Alice is a really good looking woman. And Caroline, these are two women that are you just would not expect to exist in the 1800s. You know, in the way that they are. Yet well, here they are. No,
Alice's days are numbered.
They are. But at least she never got to get old.
We're getting closer to the the infamous time.
Oh, it really is the worst episode. Now, not in a bad way. You know, just it's a tearjerker.
Yeah.
We're not too many tearjerkers on Walnut Grove cast yet. Maybe we're avoiding it. I'm not really sure.
They're in the run.
Yeah, they're coming.
They're certainly there.
We're running out of lighthearted episodes. So back at the Mercantile, we hear a little bit of an exchange with Nels and his young Willie.
Absolutely not. I am not going to give you that shotgun.
But if you don't give it to me, Ma will just come here and get it
herself.
All right,
I get it. Absolutely ridiculous, this monster business. It serves her right for taking that old lady's land.
What you doing here, Willie? I thought you'd be swimming today.
Not me. I'm not going that lake. The monster bit me. You're a kid.
Here's the shotgun.
Thanks.
What does he need the shotgun for?
His mother thinks she's going to shoot a monster.
But isn't that kind of dangerous?
Not really. Just between you and me, I loaded it with blanks.
Why would he load it with blood? I don't know. It's so silly. Like, what if there are wild animals?
So the kids don't have to worry about getting shot. I think that's more for the plot than anything else.
It's 1880. Come on. They should know how to do all this. So meanwhile, back at the at Harriet Lake, which she wait, is it Lake Harriet or Harriet Lake?
Lake Harriet, yeah.
We're back at Lake Harriet.
And the boat is called Harriet.
Yes.
Everything's awesome. Harriet.
It's really awesome.
The house is called Harriet.
Yeah, it's, I mean, she couldn't even like name it after one of her children. You know. So they're at the dinner table being served by Kezia. Just terrible. Actually, I think Kezia is standing and eating while they're sitting at her dining room table eating.
See how brave this monster is. Aren't you coming?
Oh, no, Mum. I'll just stay here and pray for you.
How are you?
What? Shh.
Oh, and the reason why I wanted to play this is the music is phenomenal right here. I mean, you have moments of Jaws. You have all types of stuff going on in this.
Yes, I noticed that.
So I'm going to play the whole clip. Actually, it goes through your clip. I clipped a little earlier, but I think it's worth listening to the whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, see, it wasn't far.
Yeah, exactly. You can probably see the mercantile in the distance. What I think is strange is, you know, Harriet still owns the property, whether they like it or not.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure. I guess we have to have a whole separate thing. We have a very uncomfortable scene popping up now. Where they're in kind of their...
We do?
Bloomers or something? Like, what are they wearing?
Oh yeah, long johns or yeah, long underwear.
But
yeah.
Laura's wearing this, and it was... she's just a little too young to be showing... Wearing something that's actually form-fitting. And as a matter of fact, she's also wearing pants. which I have to disagree with.
We did it!
To see what all the fuss was about, and I got to laughing so hard I fell in the lake.
You won't tell on us, will you?
Never. Never.
No. Why don't you clean yourself up and stay and have some supper? We're having a large fish, an enormous fish.
I don't mind if I do.
He hates his wife. He really does. And he's out on of $1,200. I mean, well, $50. So, what did he just throw money
that,
around?
Maybe that was Harriet's money.
Yeah, that's true. She does have her own money.
She got it out of the chest of drawers.
Yeah, I remember that.
So if this seems like a really familiar plot,
which it
does. So this aired in 1979. This idea of kids making a fake Loch Ness monster has been done before. Having a fake Loch Ness monster type thing has been done previously. In 1970, there was a film called The Private Life of Sherlock Holmes that was released. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that was depicted, I think it was a pretty long movie that ended up being edited down, but one of the things that it depicted was a Loch Ness monster type creation that was like a submarine that was being used.
Oh, that's interesting.
So yeah, it was a Billy Wilder film with Christopher Lee. The next year, there were two films that featured kids making a fake Loch Ness monster, and one of them was actually shown at school because I distinctly remember seeing this being played in. At an assembly in an auditorium from like a 16 millimeter film. They had gotten a print of this. And there was a TV movie that was made by Disney called The Strange Monster of Strawberry Cove.
Huh.
And it was one of these things that was made for specifically to be shown, you know, like the Wonderful World of Disney type thing. And in it. It had Burgess Meredith in it, and also Agnes Moorehead, both from previously appearing on Twilight Zone.
Oh, that's interesting.
But so the kids make a, and I think that these kids were like, they did two or three of these little TV movies, and so the kids were recurring characters. But they built a fake sea monster to sort of support their teacher who had believed he saw one in the lake. So there was this whole thing about them peddling like a little rowboat type thing and making the monster. It was very, very similar to we didn't really see the workings or the mechanism. I think they just put on theirs.
No, you can barely even see it in this. And I watched two different prints of it. And you really can't even see what the thing even looked like.
Oh, you mean in the episode we just watched?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very vague and very dingy, very dark appearing. But the two instances, and it's odd that these were both October of 1971. The other instance were there was a similar film where kids made a fake Loch Ness Monster. There was a movie that was released in the UK, and it probably was also a TV movie. It was called The Johnstown Monster.
Oh.
And it was, you know, made for UK audiences. And in that, a bunch of the kids in this family got together to make a fake monster to sort of bring notoriety and prosperity to their little village. Mm. And so I just thought that was interesting that all around the same time you had this idea floating around in different movies that got sort of rehashed in this episode.
Seems to have happened a lot in the 70s, huh? Where ideas get really recycled a lot. But, you know, this was a very weird episode. It was kind of an offshoot.
Yeah, and we should also say this is, our last appearance of Kezia, played by Hermione Baddeley.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm pronouncing that last name correctly. And she died in 1986, but she did a lot of TV work. She has 99 acting credits. She was on a couple of movies she was on The Unsinkable Molly Brown and also Mary Poppins.
Oh.
And she had a recurring role in the Batman 66 TV series as one of the villains. And she also had a recurring role on Maude, which might be the most familiar and most recent regular appearance that she had. She was a neighbor, Mrs. Naugatuck, Nautucket or something like that.
I haven't seen Maude in forever.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah.
But she was a neighbor on Maude and appeared in several episodes. And
she was a fun character for Little House. I would have liked to see her pop in a little bit more, but... You know, she definitely made her mark.
You know. Yep, and that really, was the last time we'd see her.
But all right, man. Well, this was a fun episode. I'm really glad we got together to do this. We're gonna try to do a little bit more of the tearjerkers moving forward. A little bit, nothing too crazy. But also, I really do want to focus. Possibly doing a thing this summer where maybe the Nelly Palooza of some sort, where we can focus on how terrible Nelly is.
Or yeah, was. Okay. Yeah.
And maybe we can even convince Allison Argram to pop onto Warner Grovecast and give us a minute of her time.
That would be great. Yeah.
I'm trying to work it out. But, all right, man. Well, thanks again. I look forward to the next episode.
Me too.
All right. By the way, Chris Cooling is at forgotten.tv. You can definitely check out his podcast, which covers, I'm not going to say it's all just forgotten. It's just, maybe for some people it's forgotten. It's TV from an eras that people should talk about a little bit more often.
Yeah, short-lived TV shows, TV pilots, TV movies from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, definitely bringing new life to these long-forgotten classics. But, yeah, definitely check out forgotten.tv. All right, man. I'll talk to you next time, then.
All right, we'll see you then. Bye.